Thank you for joining Mechon Hadar's learning of Pirkei Avot in honor of our 10th year celebration.
This week's Dvar Torah is by Dina Weiss.
This week's Mishnayot are Perek Dalet Mishnayot Vav through Chet, Chapter 4, Mishnahs 6 through 8. Mishnah Vav, Mishnah 6. Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Yossi says, Kol hamechaber et haTorah, gufo mechubad al habriot. Anyone who respects, who shows honor to the Torah, his guf is respected or honored by humanity. V'chol hamechalel et haTorah, and anyone who violates or dishonors the Torah, gufo mechulal al habriot. His body, or his guf, is violated by the people, or is considered to be sort of disregarded by humanity. And the term guf here, which is either being honored by people or dishonored by people, can be understood in three ways. It could refer to his actual physical body. Gufo mechubad, his body will be honored, and people will show his body honor. When he walks down the street, people will stand, or when he walks down the street, people will turn their backs to him. Or the term guf can just mean himself. So gufo mechubad al habriot would be he is honored by people. And the third option is that guf should be understood here more as gufa, which is the Hebrew word for corpse. And there are a few traditions about how we treat Torah scholars in their death. And all of these traditions are centered around the notion that since the Torah scholar carries the words of Torah in his heart and in his actions, his body is like a Sefer Torah. One custom that is still done in some communities today is that if we need to bury a invalid Sefer Torah, sometimes that Sefer Torah will be buried with the rabbi, with the teacher of that community, to show that these two entities, the Sefer Torah scroll and the body of the teacher, carry the words of Torah on and in them. We continue with Mishnah Zion, Mishnah 7. Rabbi Yishmael beno Omer. Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yose, says, Hachosech atzmo min hadin, someone who removes himself from getting involved in judgment or litigation, porek mimenu eva vegazel ushfuat shav, removes from himself enmity, theft, and false swearing. And this is actually true both for a litigant and a judge. There are three things that you have to worry about when you get involved in the justice business or when you take someone to court. Enmity, making enemies. Theft, if you decide wrong or you have the judge decide in your favor incorrectly, you'll be appropriating someone else's property that doesn't belong to you. Or swearing falsely. The way that the court system often works is that I have a claim against you, but I don't have sufficient evidence to prove that you're wrong. I might, at the very least, be able to compel you to take a shvuah, to swear that you don't owe me the money. And if I'm lying in any of these situations, or as a judge I'm involving myself in litigation in a way that I don't have to, I might be party to causing hatred, causing theft, or causing oaths that did not otherwise need to be taken. Rabbi Shmuel continues, V'hagas libo behora, and one who is overly comfortable, overly familiar, kind of crass when it comes to ruling, he looks at it very casually, he just makes decisions off the cuff. That person is a shoteh, an idiot, rasha, evil, v'gas ruach, and someone who is overly haughty. And Rabbi Yishmael here seems to be speaking to the fact that someone who gets involved with court cases when they don't need to not only causes this enmity and this theft and these false oaths, it also has an impact on his own character. It makes him crazy, evil, and arrogant. And part of what Rabbi Yishmael might be pointing to is that depending on your level of expertise and depending on the arrangement of the court, some judges, if they make a mistake, actually have to pay for their mistake from their own house. So if I were to judge in Jeremy's favor and take money from Analia to pay Jeremy, if it turns out that Analia didn't owe Jeremy any money, I might be on the hook to pay Analia back. Jeremy might be able to keep his money, and I would have to pay the person who paid him. Anyone who gets involved in that scene without having to is clearly an idiot. We're continuing with Mishnah Chet, Mishnah 8. Hu haya omer, Rabbi Shmuel would say, Al tehi dan yichidi, do not be a single judge, do not judge alone. It is the case that if someone is extremely knowledgeable, he is permitted to judge court cases alone, even though the standard minimum is 3. But Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yossi, says, don't do that. She'ein dan yichidi el achad, because there's only one entity who judges alone, and that is God. Ve'al tomar, and do not say, kablu da'ati, accept my opinion, she'ein rasha'in velo ata, because they are permitted and you are not permitted. What Rabbi Yishmael seems to be pointing to here is that litigants are allowed to accept upon themselves someone who is not necessarily the most senior of judges, or even someone who is invalid to judge. If both of the litigants accept this judge upon themselves, they're permitted to do that, and they would then have to accept his or her judgment. But a judge can't walk over to two litigants and say, you should accept me. They are allowed to propose a substandard arrangement, but you are not allowed to propose yourself as their judge. And here we see Rabbi Yishmael being very consistent in his opinion of judges who are very lax about judging, judges that are very haughty about judging. He thinks this is a terrible idea. If you have to judge, fine. But certainly don't insert yourself where you don't belong. Certainly don't ask people to accept you as their judge. I'd like to return our attention to Mishnah Chet, Mishnah 8, where Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yose, spoke about not judging alone. And the end of the Mishnah, he said, V'al tomar kablu da'ati, do not say, accept my opinion, accept me upon yourselves, shehein rasha'in v'lo ata, because they, the litigants, are permitted to accept you as a judge, but you are not allowed to propose yourself as a judge to them. There is another way of understanding the second clause of the Mishnah, not as being separate from the first half of the Mishnah, but actually being a continuation. The first half of the Mishnah says, do not judge alone. And presumably, if somebody is not going to judge alone, they are going to accept two other judges to join them on the team. They are going to form a Beit Din, they're going to form a court of 3. The other way of understanding this second half of the Mishnah is that when this judge, who otherwise would have been alone, says, Kablu da'ati, you should accept my opinion, he isn't speaking to the litigants, he's speaking to the other people that are on his court. So even though this senior judge has accepted two more junior judges, who he doesn't even really need, because theoretically he could judge alone, he is not allowed to assert his authority over them. He can't say to them, you have to accept my opinion. But what's interesting about the continuation of the Mishnah is that we find that he says, Shehein Rasha'in Velo Ata, because they are permitted, they have the authority to do this, and you do not. And in this second new understanding of the Mishnah, what we have is 3 judges, one of whom is not allowed to say to the other judges, you must accept my opinion. But the other 2 judges can say to each other or to him, you must accept my opinion, or you should accept my opinion. So what's the difference if I have a court of 3 people? Why are some people allowed to say, you have to listen to me, you have to agree with me, and one of them isn't? How is that fair? How is that a court of 3? And I think that in order to understand this, we have to really get into the dynamic of what's happening on this court. These 2 other members of the tribunal are junior judges. if the senior judge says to them, I'm definitely right, or you should do what I say, that's not really something that they can refuse. They can't say, no, we know better than you. Once the senior judge says to them, you have to accept what I say, they basically have to accept what he says. And therefore, you've taken a court that looks like it's got three members, and you've reduced it to one, because you've allowed the senior judge to so strongly throw around his authority that the other two judges don't even stand a chance. They actually can't assert their opinion once the more senior judge says, actually, you know that I'm right, and you should accept it. On the other hand, when a junior judge says to a senior judge, you should really listen to me, it's possible that the senior judge will listen, and it's possible that he won't. The senior judge has a choice and actually can participate in the conversation and decide whether or not he wants to accept the opinion of his inferiors in a way that they wouldn't be free to reject his. And I think that this idea of really looking into what are the power dynamics in this relationship and how might that restrict the way that I behave in that relationship can be extended beyond court tribunals. There are many different situations where we'll find ourselves either in a place of power or in a place where we feel totally impotent and we feel like we actually can't assert our authority. And what Rabbi Yishmael's Mishnah might be teaching us is that you have to recognize when you're in a position of authority and what it means when you make a request of someone and they feel disempowered to say no to you. You can't hide behind the fact that you presented it as an option or that technically they had the ability to say no. You have to actually look at the power dynamics and ask yourself, did this person really have the full ability to disagree with me? And if they don't, then you have to realize that merely by asking them to do something, you're really throwing around your weight and you're actually forcing them to do something against their will or possibly against their will. And on the other hand, I think he's encouraging people that are in arrangements where they have less power and they feel like there's nothing I can do about it. I'm the junior judge. He's saying to you, you know what? Why don't you try saying to the senior judge, kabel da'ati, accept my opinion. Because either the senior judge won't listen to you, you won't be worse off than you were before, but maybe, just maybe, you will be the one that has a hand in really changing the mind of someone who is in power and really changing the dynamics of this relationship. And so Rabbi Yishmael is speaking to everybody and saying, recognize where you are. Recognize how much power you have. And if you have a lot of power, step back a little. Because you may not realize the force of your statements. You may not realize that what you think is a request is actually a command. And is also saying to the people that are maybe on a lower rung, step up. You never know what raising your voice might allow you to accomplish. Next week's Mishnayot are Perek Dalet, Mishnayot 10 through Yud Bet, Chapter 4, Mishnahs 9 through 12.
For more opportunities to be involved in our 10th year celebration, please visit mechonhadar.org/siyum. Join us on Thursday, March 2nd for our Siyum celebration and be a part of our first ever National Shabbaton for March 3rd through 5th, 2017.